doing this morning?
Good. Did I just hear a weird whistle?
All right, whatever. That works for me too. Well, good morning. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. Just want to take a second and thank you all so much for choosing LifePoint Church today to be your place of worship and to hang out with us. And we're just thankful. As Wiggum said in the welcoming, I mean, there's a lot of churches in Louisville. There's a lot of churches probably within a 5-mile radius that you could have chose. And we're just thankful that you're here hanging out with us, doing life with us. And regardless of your background or what you're about, we're glad you're here. So as we kick off today, last week we started a 5-part series called Hashtag The Struggle Is Real. So if you missed it out last week, it was a great message. You can get educated on hashtags. I'm not going to go through that again. So if you don't know what that is, go check out the podcast. If you don't know what a hashtag is, you may not know what a podcast is. Just go to the website, find podcast. If you don't know what a website is, I'm sorry, I got nothing for you. Come to 2015, it'll be all good, I promise. But what we're doing in this series is basically what we're looking at is what it's like to follow Jesus in this new world of social media, of selfies and self-centeredness, and how that can affect us. While there's so much good that comes from it, and just disclaimer right off the bat, I'm all about it. Like, I love technology. I love social media too much, and I'll share a little bit of that today, be a little transparent with you about that. But there's so much good that can come from it, but it also begins to change us, and it changes what we're about and how we operate, and it can be very detrimental to our relationship with Christ. So that's what we're looking at in this series, and again, last week we talked about contentment. So go back and check that out if you missed it out. But what we talked about was how we find ourselves, especially on social media, but really just in any platform, looking at other people and comparing ourselves, and how we become discontent with our own lives. And that can really just spiral out of control. Today what we're going to talk about is one of my favorites, favorite things, and it's relationships. I'm a very relational person. I get my energy from being around people. I love it. That's just how I'm wired. So relationships are really important to me. But what we're going to look at today is how social media and technology can both boost relationships if done right and managed well, but it also has the power to really damage our relationships and really dumb down what relationships are intended to be and how God intended them. So that's what we're going to be looking at. So kicking this off, I want us to focus on Jesus' words in John chapter 13. And a little context before we go in that, when we look at John chapter 13, this is where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And I can't begin to even express, I can't even understand the full capacity of what he actually did when he did that. It was the most stunning, like selfless, humble act that anyone could do. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, kneeling down and washing the feet of other people. It's so powerful. It is love in its purest form right there. And so knowing that, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." See, I love what he said there, but even more so, I love what he didn't say. Right? He didn't say, "They will know you're my disciples if you have perfect theology." Right? And theology is good. Having a good sound theology is important. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, "They will know that you're my disciples because you're in church every week or because you go to a certain church." Again, church attendance is important. Getting with other believers is incredibly important. We're going to look at that again, that community. We'll talk about that today. But that's not what he said. Right? He didn't say that if you have a bumper sticker of Jesus on the back of your car, they're going to know that you're my disciples, which some of you probably shouldn't do that. I don't do that intentionally because I get a little crazy behind the wheel sometimes. I have to ask for forgiveness quite a bit. So I just don't even do that. But that's not what he said. He said, "They will know that you're my disciples by how you love each other and how you love other people." It's how you love. That's what's important. That's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus said. So for the rest of the morning when we talk, I want you to kind of hear everything and filter it through that lens of what Jesus said, that it's about loving other people. That's how people are going to identify you as a Christ follower. Not what you say,
what you do. What are your actions? It's how you love. So with that said, let's jump over and looking at this whole hashtag, the struggle is real, and how it intersects with our relationships. So what we're going to look at, I want to ask a question. I just want you to think through this, and I'm going to share a few things, but think through this. But how has technology changed relationships? How has technology changed relationships? Again, there's so many positive things that can happen with relationships, right? I mean, and technology, and through that, it's incredible. But again, there's unintended negative consequences that come with social media and all the technology that we have. So we have to be aware of that. And honestly, we can probably talk for days about some of those unintended negative consequences, right, and how it damages our relationships. But I want to look at three major things, three major issues. We could say three major struggles, right, because the struggle is real. But the first major struggle I want to look at, and the major change that we see with relationships as a result of technology, is that the term friend is evolving, right? The term friend is evolving. See, before, a friend was someone that you, like, you knew, like, you were connected with, you did life with them, you spent time with them, they were in your corner, they had your back. That was what a friend was. You know, if I said, they're my friend, that meant that we spent a lot of time together, right? But now, a friend could be someone on Facebook that you've never met, right? You've never met them. I have a guy, I promise you, I've never met this guy face-to-face in my life, but I feel like we are, like, best friends. Like, we have a lot in common. I know his wife takes our pictures. She does a fantastic job, but I've never, and we have a lot of mutual friends, but I've never met this cat face-to-face. But I'd say he's one of my friends. He's one of my friends on Facebook, right? So because of this, it's changing the definition of what a friend is. For example, the average Facebook user has 338 friends, right? 338 friends. But the average American honestly says that they only have about two close friends. Two close friends. And about 25% of Americans say they don't really have close friends. But yet, the average person has 338 friends on Facebook, right? It's redefining what a friend is. It's changing that, right? Not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but it's something to be aware of. It's a change that can negatively affect our relationships if we don't put it in check and keep it out in front of us. The second change that we see is that we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation, right? We're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. So if, in other words, if I'm feeling a little bit down, or I'm feeling, you know, maybe a little down on myself, or just bummed out, like I don't have any friends, I can just, you know, do this number right here. Hang on a second. Right? I can hit that. Bam. I can post that on Instagram or Facebook. Got my little selfie action going on. And then I can see all the different comments I'm going to get within a few minutes. Right? Or an hour. And I'm going to be checking back. Like, you know, hey, beard's looking epic today, bro. You know, whatever. You know, and I'm getting this immediate affirmation. It's probably not what they're saying. You know, my friends aren't that nice. But when they make fun of me, I feel like it's love, you know. But you get that immediate affirmation. And we've become addicted to that. Actually, scientists have actually discovered that within our brain, it releases dopamine when we get those likes. And we've become addicted to that. And we need it. And we want it. And we post a picture and we're like, what'd they say? And we're checking back. First thing in the morning, we're checking back. What'd they say? Did they like my picture? Why didn't she like my picture? I always like her picture. She never likes mine. I'm not liking hers anymore. Right? And we go through this over and over and over because we've become addicted to that immediate affirmation. It's changing the way we do relationships. Right? The third thing is, which is probably maybe one of the most powerful ones, is that we have the power to do friendship on our own terms, right? Through technology, through social media, we can do friendship on our own terms. So if Will back here, who's running the sound, if he sends me a text, I can make the choice to ignore it, right? I don't have to answer, but I can respond if I want to, or I can respond later, or I can just delete him, cut him off, and block his number because Will gets on my nerves, you know, whatever. But I have the choice in how I'm going to react in that situation. If Greg posts a picture on Instagram, I have the choice and the power and the ability to decide whether it's like-worthy or not, Do I just keep scrolling on by because it's garbage? Or do I double tap that sucker and like it? Right? I have that choice because I'm doing friendship on my own terms. Right? And that's what we get into. I can either manage my friendships from a distance, or I can choose to bring them in close into actual real relationships because I'm able to do that. But see, it's changing the way we do relationships. And then one day we wake up and we realize we're in a new game. The game has completely changed in culture. But in reality, what's important with relationships is still important. And it's still there. And honestly, the majority of people that engage in social media feel probably more connected than ever before. Like when you look on that phone or on that computer and you can see all those friends and you can see everything they're saying and everything they're doing, it makes you really, on the surface level, feel more connected. But in reality, it leaves you longing for more, right? It leaves you longing for something real, something more important. I mean, you can get that fixed with all the different likes you want, but at the end of the day, if you don't have real relationships, you're just kind of chilling there at a computer by yourself, right? Searching, scanning for likes all day long, feeling empty. It's the truth. I've heard it. I hear it all the time. That's the reality. So what I want to do today is I want to figure out how we go from relationship like this to relationship face-to-face, right? Real, authentic, real relationships. Again, hear me clearly. I don't view anything wrong with this. There's nothing inherently evil or wrong with this. So this isn't a message of banging on, you know, texting or Facebook or anything like that because I'm the king, right? My wife's over like, yeah, he is. Listen to what you preach, homie. That's what she's saying. So, but what I'm saying is we've got to figure out how to do this right, how to monitor that, how to use that and leverage that for good. How can we push the gospel further? How can we really bring people into relationship, into community? We have new tools to do that, but still the foundation's still there. Nothing's changed with that. Human interaction, human relation, that's what we're, how we're created. We were created as relational beings to be in relationship first with God. That's how we were created. That's what we were created for, and to be in a relationship with other people. That's what it's about. So I want to check out Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says this. It said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Just right there. Man, if we could do that as a church, and not just as LifePoint Church, but as a body of Christ, man, that'd be a game changer. There wouldn't be all these people bad-mouthing Christians and talking about how hateful and terrible Christians are. They'd be talking about, man, look how they love. Look at how those people love. I don't know that I believe everything, but man, look at how they love. That's what it would be like if we did this right here. Then he goes on to say, and let us not neglect our commenting on each other's Facebook posts. No, I jacked that up. That's not what he said. What he said was, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Let us not neglect our meeting together. It's basic, but it's essential. It's necessary. It's healthy, right? To meet together, to be in community, to practice presence. That's what we need to do. We've got to get back to that place because scripture tells us that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there with us, right? He's going to connect with us. And that's not saying that you can't connect with God on your own, by yourself, one-on-one, you can. But what he's saying is there's something powerful with presence. There's something powerful when we get together as community and pray and worship and open up scripture, and we read, and we do that together as community. He says there's something powerful. There's something special there, and it's important. It's community. It's relationship. It's doing life together. Think about this. This is something that's really impacted me. Think about this. God didn't shout his love from heaven, right? He didn't shout it from heaven. What did he do? He sent his son, flesh, bone. He came down in human form to be with us. Face to face. He didn't shout it. He came down to us, right? He walked with us. He struggled with us. He was there with us, face to face, in relationship. I mean, in fact, Jesus means Emmanuel, which is God with us. And he came and showed what love was all about. He washed those disciples' feet. He hung out with people that all the religious leaders pushed off to the side that said, you're not worthy. He said, no, I love you. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with the sinners, and he showed them love. He showed them love. I talked with some friends of ours last night. Felt so judged by Christians that they're afraid to even come here. They know me. We're friends. They know I'm the pastor. But they are so terrified to even step foot in a church because of how they've been judged and hated on in their life. That's terrible. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what God's about. He loved those people. He showed love. He was there. He was real. And it was beautiful. And that's what it was about. It was about community and love. And that's what we have to get together. And we have to realize that we have to learn to practice presence. Because where two or more are gathered, something beautiful, something amazing, something supernatural occurs. And that's what we need more of. So what I want to do in a very practical way, very simple, hopefully you don't leave and like, that's it. But it's very simple. But I promise you, if we can put these two things into practice, it's a game changer for us. It really is. Your relationships will go from here to there. Your relationship with God will go from here to there. I promise. And they're simple in theory. They're tough in practice. And again, I'm the king of this. I'm talking to myself today. This is something that I'm convicted about and I have to constantly challenge myself on because it's tough. Because the struggle is real, right? So the two things we're going to look at that I want to encourage you to do, the first thing is this. It's to be present. Simple, right? Be present. In fact, I want you to say this with me. So repeat after me. Say, I will love people. Okay, that was pitiful. Say, I will love people. Face to face. Not thumb to thumb. Like Facebook likes, you know what I'm saying? Right. I will love people face to face, not thumb to thumb. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Right? Verse 10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And then jump into verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Right? Don't just pretend to love other people. Actually love them. Don't give them lip service. We're great at that, right? We know all the right things to say. I've grown up in church my whole life and spent time in Bible college. Trust me, I know what to say to try to make someone feel better, but that's not doing this right here. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them, right? Be present in their lives. So think about it this way. Think about you have a friend or a family member, somebody that you love that's a real friend, not a Facebook friend, but like a real, real friend, okay? And they get some terrible news, right? They find out they don't get into the school they wanted to, or they got terrible medical news about their spouse or about their friend or about themselves. Or maybe something happened in their marriage and their spouse stepped out on them, or whatever may have happened, and they just got that terrible news. What is actually an appropriate way, an acceptable way to show love in that moment, right? In 2015, and I'm guilty of this, an acceptable way is to do this, to pound out a text, hey man, thinking about you, send. Or hey, praying for you, send, right? That's an acceptable way in 2015. But see, we're Christ followers, right? We're followers of Christ. We can do better than just that. We need to do better than just that. Not saying that's wrong. I've done it. I'll still probably do it. But there has to be more. So I don't know. You know, I forget this sometimes. But this thing right here, you can actually take and plug in like 7 numbers and then do this. And someone's on the other line. Right? It's amazing. I mean, we can call people. Right? How much more impactful is it to hear a tone of voice, to have a conversation, to not just say, hey, I'll pray for you, but hey, let me pray with you. That's starting to become a relationship, right? And take it a step further, how about we get real crazy and we jump in our car or we get on a bike, or we catch an Uber, or whatever, and you go meet them somewhere, right? Or you go to their house, and you're physically face to face, and your presence is there, and you're able to have a conversation back and forth. You're able to talk about it. Man, if they're crying, man, you can just embrace them. They can cry on your shoulder. If you're a guy, we get awkward when other guys cry, and it's really weird. So, like, you can, like, you know, say an inappropriate joke and make them laugh or something. You know, we tend to do that. That's what we do. Or we need to punch somebody or whatever. But you can do that when you're physically present, because presence is powerful. Presence is important. Me and Jen were talking about that this week, just yesterday, actually. And I was thinking about a time, and I've told this story before, but some really, really good friends of ours, their little girl, a couple summers ago, actually fell out of a raft in their pool and technically drowned. And, you know, I started seeing, actually on Facebook is how I saw this. It was like, hey, pray for our family. We're going through some stuff. So I sent him a text. I'm like, dude, what's going on? So he starts telling me this. And I'm sending all those texts. I'm praying for you guys. Let us know if we can do anything. You know, she was in the hospital and they were with her. They didn't know. It was hit or miss. You know, they had her on a ventilator. They didn't know what was going to happen. So, I mean, this is a guy I grew up with. Like, I've known him since I was a baby. So I'm sending all these texts, and I'm like, you know what, this isn't right. You know, I'm going up to the hospital. You know, they're not believers. You know, these are people that I love, and they know I'm the youth pastor. At the time, I was the youth pastor. And it's like, no, I need to go up there. And the whole way there, I'm like, I don't know what to say. What do you say? You know, I'm devastated. I mean, we had just went to Disney World with this family, with this little girl, you know? You know, I don't know what to do. But I was there. And I'm like, I don't know if I said all the right things. I don't know what I did. I just went, hung out, talked to them, loved on them, took him down, bought him some McDonald's at Cozair, prayed. I asked him, can we pray? Can I pray over y'all? And prayed for him. And then I rolled out. Not knowing if that mattered a hill of beans of anything. But she still talks to this day about how just me being there meant the world to them. How that was so comforting. That's nothing special about me. That's presence. That's someone giving a crap enough to go be face-to-face with somebody. That's what it's about. And the little girl's doing fine. I saw her this week, and she's running around like a mad woman. So thank God for that. But the presence is so critical. That's what I realized. I realized presence is powerful, period. And we need more of that in our lives. Again, because God is a relational God. He's present with us. So why wouldn't we share that presence with other people in our life and experience those things together? So in a practical way, I don't know what that means for you or what you need to do. Maybe it's there's that person that you always text back and forth with, or even you call or you talk to them like, hey, let's go do lunch, you know, and you just never do it. Mike. Me and Mike, that's us. I'm like texting all the time, like, hey, when we go grab lunch? Yeah, we're really going to grab lunch. And it never happens, but we're going to do it one day. It's going to be awesome too. But sit across the table from someone face to face and have a conversation. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you know that person right now, God's bringing it to your mind, that really honestly, maybe they are longing for presence and they don't even know it. But you can do that by just being present with them. Maybe it's that you need to get outside the box a little bit. Maybe you've kind of created this bubble around yourself because it's kind of uncomfortable and awkward for you, but maybe you need to start inviting people to your home or going out and seeing other people. Or maybe it's for you, real radical, go talk to someone that believes something different than you, right? Lives a different lifestyle than you. It doesn't matter. Go talk to them. Go be present with them. Go love people. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus did. I mean, when I read the New Testament, that's what I see Jesus. That's the Jesus I read. I don't know what other people read, but that's what I see. I see a Jesus that loved people, regardless of who they were and what they were about. He loved them because they were God's creation, period. And that's what it's about, right? That's what we need to do. So maybe you need to get uncomfortable and do that. Listen, let someone else tell you what they believe. Don't be so limited in your faith that you think you're going to have a conversation with somebody and it's going to rock your world. Be strong in who you are, but love other people. Give them a voice. Let them talk. It's presence, man. It's conversation. That's face-to-face. Maybe it's that you need to get into a community group here. You need to get in community with other believers. Again, pray with people. Open up the word. Share life together. Man, life's messy. It is messy. And you can either choose to keep it at a distance and try to play it safe and miss out on a ton of good stuff. Or you can buckle up, jump into the chaos, jump into the beauty of a relationship. The good, bad, and the ugly. Because there's going to be that. Because we're all fallen people. But we're all fallen people that need to do this together. That's what the church was about, right? It was getting together and being in community and loving each other. And maybe you can start that off, shameless plug, Raw Faith Tuesday night, right? It's a great time, man. Come hang out with us. Eat some sushi. If you don't like sushi, eat a salad. If you don't like a salad, just sit there and come and hang out. But it's an opportunity to come and experience community with other believers and hang out. And if you're not a believer, who cares? Come hang out. We love you. We want to get to know you. Because it's about relationship, right? It's community. It's being present. It's critical. But see, not only are we to be present, but the second thing that I want to encourage you to do, and this is my struggle, is to be engaged. Be engaged. Don't just be present. Be mentally, spiritually, emotionally, completely engaged with that person that's sitting across from you. Don't just be present. Be engaged. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says this: most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. It says, show deep love for each other. It's hard to show deep love through a text message. It's hard to do that through Facebook. It's hard to do that when you're present with someone and you're spaced out, right? It's tough. But hashtag, the struggle is real, right? If you go to a restaurant today after church, I promise you everything that when you go, you'll see a couple or a family where they're all sitting there having a nice meal together, and you'll see tops of heads. Or you'll see the kid doing this, watching a show, right? That's what you're going to see, right? Because we're present at times, but we're not engaged. I'm guilty of that. Again, y'all are going to hear me say that a ton, but I'm 100% guilty of it. And I've seen it in my own home. I made a comment to Jen the other day. We're sitting on the couch and I'm, you know, we're all just kind of hanging out, and I just kind of stop and I look up, and Jen's on her laptop doing something with school. Sawyer's got my iPad watching a show. Amelia's got her iPod Touch doing something, and I'm on my phone. And I'm like, this is crazy. We're all present in the same room, but not a single one of us was engaged in any type of relationship. We just existed in the same room. So I know I'm guilty of that. And I will say, parents, I know you're guilty of that. Whether you say it or not, you're guilty. I promise. You're on Facebook or you're on Pinterest looking at, like, how am I going to, you know, organize, you know, the school uniforms better. Or, you know, or you're watching the game, or you're watching your series that you're trying to catch up on, or you're binge watching Netflix or whatever. And your kid's like, Mom, look at this new coloring sheet. Look what I just colored. Or Dad, look, I built this Lego truck. Right? Because they're begging for us to be engaged. You know, a lot of times we've got busy lives and life's hectic, and we just get home and we just kind of want to zone out, right? Or we get with a friend and we just want to zone out. All while they're longing for us to be engaged, to be in a relationship. And it's tough. I get it. Trust me, King, right here, I'm the worst. But we've got to make that change. It would be like, I mean, it seems so normal now to have one of these in your hands, okay? But think about it this way. Think about if we went out to get coffee, and me and you, and you're kind of pouring your life out to me, just all your struggles and everything, and I'm like, yeah. And I just reach down into my backpack, and I pull out a book. Don't laugh, you know that I don't read, but just hang with me here. I pull out a book, and then I just start reading. Flip a page. Flip another page, close the book, put it back in my backpack. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I got you. And they're like, okay. And you start talking some more. And then I reach back in my backpack again. Then I look out and break out my to-do list. Okay, I need to get some butter. I need to go pick Amelia up from dance in about an hour. Okay, I do that check. Okay, cool. Go ahead, continue. You're good. And then one of my other friends comes walking in, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And then I go walk over there, and I just have a 10-minute conversation with them and leave you hanging. And then I come back, and I'm like, hey, okay, yeah, I got you. Go ahead. Right? You'd be like, dude, what a jerk. Like, I'm wasting my time. You know, at least the coffee's good. But this dude's a jerk, right? But in reality, That's what we do when we're having a conversation with someone and we go to this, right? And we start checking this and we check that and we do this and that. But it's tough because every time this thing right here buzzes or chirps or screams at you or tweets or whatever it does, we're drawn to it like a moth to a flame, man. We're like, it's just like, oh my gosh, what's there? Who is it? What are they saying? Was it someone that liked one of my pictures? Was it someone, or is this an important email that I have to see? And if I don't see it, like, you know, the world's going to implode, you know, whatever. And it's, we are just zoned into that. That's why it's so tough. I mean, it's such a struggle that there's actually a word for this now, and it's in the dictionary. I didn't know this. I learned this week. The word is FOMO, F-O-M-O, which means fear of missing out. It's in the dictionary. The definition, and I'm going to read it, is anxiety that is existed or interesting, events that may cause us that may be caused and happening elsewhere, often aroused by posting on social media. So it's that anxiety of something, you know, that's existing right now that we can't see. Something exciting that might be going on, you know, over here, I might miss that. I'm not there, but I can see it here, and I might miss out on it, right? So it's the fear of missing out, and it has us held captive, right? We're afraid we're going to miss something, so we dedicate our lives to that thing. But the reality of the situation is when you are so engaged in that, you're missing out on everything else around you. At the end of your life, you're not going to be sitting there preparing for your dirt nap and being like, you know what? If I'd only had 3 more likes, if I'd only had 3 more likes, I would have had 100 on that picture. And if I'd have gotten 100 on that picture, that would have been 100 pictures or posts of mine that had over 100 likes each. Man, I could have been fulfilled. Right, you're chuckling because that's ridiculous. No one's going to be that. No one's going to be thinking that when they get to the end. They're not. They're going to be thinking about how did they spend their life? Who did they connect with? And most importantly, how much love did I show? Do people view me as someone that was worth being around? Did I show love? Was I a loving person? Did I model the life of Christ? That's what you're going to think about. Not about likes. It's trivial. It's stupid. When you break it down in that capacity, it's dumb. But we're addicted, man. We're consumed with it. Fear of missing out, right? Struggle is real. We're all in it because it's what we're consumed with, right? Even those that aren't connected to social media, they know about it. They hear about it. They're still, I have friends that do not do anything with social media, but they're still quite addicted to their phones, right? Whether it be email or texting or situations of that. So we have to be aware because if not, we're going to wake up one day and realize that we're missing out on the people that are right in front of us, right? The people that God has placed in our lives that we can minister to and we can love and that are longing for that. That need that. They may just need you to be present for one moment, and that could radically change their entire life. Seriously. Presence is that powerful, especially when you're talking about someone that has the presence of Christ in them. It's critical. But we have to be willing to be present. And we have to be willing to be engaged. So again, I don't know what it is for you practically. Maybe it's that you need to set some boundaries, right? You need to set some rules. That's what some of the things that we've talked about in our house, and I'm bad about breaking them, but we set them. I got to work on that. But you know, but maybe it's no phones after 10 p.m., you know? Or maybe it's when you sit down to dinner, all phones go on a docking station, or you stack them up on the table face down, you know? I don't know. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe you need to set some of those boundaries, right? I mean, listen, if you're laying in bed with your spouse and you're both on your phone and you have to text like, hey, you in the mood? Like, you got a problem. You do. You have a problem. You're probably going to get hashtag headache back. But man, put phones away, right? We're missing out what's in front of us. We're missing out what God has blessed us with, right? We've missed out on those things if we're so consumed in likes and, you know, who liked my picture, or how many friends do I have, or how many followers do I had, or, you know, what did they tweet about the game, or, you know, whatever it is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says this. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." It's kind of the theme here, right? Show love. Don't say it. Do it. Don't tell someone you're going to pray for them and don't pray for them. Go pray with them. I can't think of how many times that someone either here or elsewhere says, hey, like face to face, like, hey, can you pray for me? I'm struggling with this. I'm like, yeah, definitely, I got you. And I just go on about my business, right? Why couldn't I just pray with them right there? You know? So busy with everything that's around that we forget what's right in front of us. Man, the early church, their greatest weapon was community, right? I mean, they were so heavily persecuted that they had to draw together, right? They had to be there for each other. It said, in fact, that if any of them was in need, they sold everything they had. They did everything they could to help provide for that one. And they were so thorough with it, and they were so bought into that, that it said that not a single one of them was in need. Not a single one, because they were in community. They were in relationship, man. They were doing life together. And Jesus said that you will know, or they will know that you're my disciple by how you love others, how you love each other, and what you do with that. Not how many likes you get, not how many followers you have, but how you love other people. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of being owned by this thing. And it's tough. And I really, really struggle with it. I can't stress that enough. And I want you to hear that. Because I struggle with that really bad. And it's something that I have to be very conscious of and work on. Because if not, my kids that are 8 and 5 are going to be 18 and 15. And it's going to be done. And I'm going to miss it. Because I'm too worried about this garbage. Right? Or there's going to be people around me that I have the opportunity to invest in and love and introduce to Christ. And I'm going to miss it. And you're going to miss it if we're so consumed with that. But I'm going to choose to be a lover of people, right? I'm going to show people that I'm a Christ follower by how I love other people and how I build relationships with other people. And I hope in my prayers that that's what this church will be. That we'll be a lover of people. First a lover of Christ, and then a lover of people through that. We cannot replace intimacy with other garbage and relationships with other garbage. It's too critical. It's too important. A new command I give you, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love each other. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone. Everyone. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us, despite ourselves, despite just the mess that we constantly find ourselves in and how we struggle, Lord, and how we put things before you, God, but you love us. You give us grace and you give us mercy, Lord. And may we enter in relationship with you every second of every day. And with that power and with that love and with you working through us, that we can love others and that they will see us as people that love others. And they will see you through our actions, God. Maybe you're here today and you've been checking out the claims of Christ and come to LifePoint Church or to other churches, but you realize that you've never entered into that initial relationship with Christ. You've never given your life to him completely, laid it all on the line for him. You don't have that relational intimacy with God. And if that's you today, understand that he loves you so incredibly much that he sent his son to die for you. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do that for you. Lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for you, with you in mind, because he loved you so much. He wants to be in relationship with you. He died and rose again for you. And all he wants is to be in relationship with you. And if that's you today and you're ready to step over that line of faith and step into that incredible, life-changing, eternal relationship with him, just right there, just call out to him. Again, I say it every week. It's not the prayer. It's not the words that you're saying. It's your heart. It's your belief. That you place your faith in him and him alone. You're not looking for anything else other than him to radically transform you. And if that's you today, just call out to him however he leads and say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross and rose again so that I can be forgiven, and I can have an eternal life with you. God, I confess I have flaws and I'm not perfect, and I'm in desperate need of a Savior, desperate need of a relationship with you. God, save me today. In your name I pray, amen. With our heads still bowed, if that was your prayer today, I promise you, the greatest decision you've ever made in your life, greatest decision, the greatest relationship you'll have ever entered into, and it has the power to infect every single relationship that you have moving forward. And if that's you today, I would just ask that you would just mark that on a connection card or come talk to me or one of our team members, just so that we can celebrate with you and know how to kind of help guide you on your next step in this new, incredible relationship with Christ. But as we continue, maybe you're a Christ follower. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for a day or years. You've been struggling with relationships, struggling to engage face-to-face, struggling to figure out how this all works in 2015. Maybe you're used to face-to-face phone communication. You're trying to figure all this technology stuff out. Or maybe that's all you've grown up with and you don't even know how to talk on the phone. Or you don't know how to sit across from the table with someone. Man, just be in relationship. Be present. Be engaged when you're present. Love others. Jesus said, they will know you or follower of me just by how you love. And don't just say it, act it out. Live it, be it, breathe it. Don't give lip service. And if that's you today and you know that you need to change some things or you need to set some boundaries or you need to take some practical steps to improve this in your life, man, just call out to God. Just ask him to guide you. That's what I'm doing. I need help with that, and I know I can't do it on my own. And I need to make some improvements for my family, for myself, for my relationship with Christ. Well, how many times we say, I don't have time to go to community group, or I don't have time to read my Bible, or I don't have time to pray, but yet we have time for Facebook. I've made time for that. Just got to make some adjustments, man. No shame, no guilt, no blame. God just says, I just want to be in a relationship with you, man. So just make some tweaks, change some things, figure out how to leverage this thing for positive things, right? However God's leading you, you just do business with him. God, as we close, just thank you so much for your truth, for your love, for the fact that you want to be in a relationship with us. God, that blows my mind every time I think about it. God, we're so thankful for that. God, may you bless LifePoint Church. May you bless every single person in here, God, that they would just come into relationship with you, God, and that they would demonstrate that love of you, God. That people would see them and see this church, God, and say, man, I want what they have. I want to be connected to Jesus. God, continue to bless, continue to work, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray.